Welcome back, Monday morning, the 6th of December. Tomorrow seems to be a historic day. I'm not quite sure why. I'll research that. I'll look into that. Brian Suits here at 770 KTTH. Welcome, everybody. It's why am I here? Let's call it the Don't Get Used to It show. It's because my daughter and I just moved back here from, well, frankly, from hell. And so we're back here. If you're a longtime Northwesterner, maybe you know me from down the hall at Cairo. But regardless, because I'm in the zip code, I'm gonna be here for the week, and just pleased to do it. I got to tell you, and you know why? Because I'm done at 9. Brady was an eyewitness. You went to the game. The Seahawks out. It was scorching fourth win.
Yes, and it's only been my second Seahawks game ever I've been to. Both have been this season. Both of our home wins.
Here's the thing. Here's the secret. The 49ers, though they went into the game, whatever, 6-5, Jimmy Lagarpo is
Garoppolo.
No. You must be dyslexic, but Jimmy Pogarapo is no good without a lead. I mean, he's just not. And it's so funny because they don't want to admit that he's not the guy. He showed up and he looked like the guy. I mean, who looks like that and does not turn out to be a stud quarterback? But then, as it turns out, he can't come back from a hole. So that's why when they went up 14-7, that was like they went into the half at 14-7, right? When the Niners went up, I'm like, ah, crap. Now he's got a lead. He's got a lead, and then he's got a Bosa. And so, you know, that normally a lead and a Bosa, you know, is in the NFC West, it means, things are good. But the other funny thing is there's, I don't know, in his generation, I don't know in the history of the NFL if there's ever been a quarterback who has come back and won after trailing than Russell Wilson. But it's good to see. You know, I always dip in on the Seahawks, no matter where I live. So the booger hook is now fully healed, right? He was out for 5 straight games. Finger. I say booger hook.
Yes, he's. You're talking about Russell Wilson.
Yes, that chap at quarterback.
Yes, he's been back for a couple weeks now.
He seems pretty good. I think he came back too early, because that was a travesty last week. Didn't look like him, but yesterday it looked like the booger hook is fully healed now. So it just shows you that guy is so key, and why you don't have and how do you back that guy up? I mean, I'll give Pete Carroll a pass on that, but and who if they whatever if they win out, they're not even in the hunt. It sucks. So I'd maybe consider getting some reps on the anyway. It's a shame now to see him back and he looking so good and the whole thing. By the way, this is not 710 Sports Talk. This is Brian Suits talking to Brady about the Seahawks. Should I even get into my Adrian Peterson thing, or have the fine Seahawks fans adhered to AP? Do you think?
I think they've adhered to him because they see it as a big name coming into the organization, yeah. Even though if you're a football fan or follow it, you know this isn't going to be a long-term thing. He's more, though, kind of like Marshawn, as you were saying earlier.
And he got his thing. He got his touchdown.
The one-yard touchdown, you want someone to punch it in on the goal line, he's your guy. But he's not your, I'm going to get 50, 60 carries a game kind of guy.
Well, no. You weren't even alive when that debacle when that running back from Ireland, Frank O'Harris, ended his career with the Seahawks, it was pitiful. It was, and I was a young man. I was like, why is this guy trying to relive the glory in the Seahawks helmet? And that was a bad scene. When I think long timers remember when Frank O'Harris ended as a Seahawk. Turns out not from Ireland. Played at Penn State, Frank O'Harris. Well, here's the thing with AP. Because nobody said this. If you're watching on TV, like the majority of people were, not all of us are one percenters that get to go to the game, Brady. Were you under the drip line?
No, I was up in the nosebleeds.
Oh, with the people.
I was with the people. I was surrounded by 49er fans.
They travel well.
They do.
I'll tell you what. On TV, they said, and now Adrian Peterson has surpassed the great Jim Brown for, and I think it was total touchdowns, so 126 or whatever it was. And what kind of steamed my broccoli on that one was there was no context. And it's like, okay, Adrian Peterson is 36. He's been playing forever. Jim Brown got his touchdowns in only 96 games because the guy only played 9 seasons. And five of those seasons were 12-game seasons. And then 14-game seasons. And he did it in 96 games. The only guy who's ever beaten that is LaDainian Tomlinson. But so anyway, I felt that was kind of, without that context, it makes it seem like, but anyway, 3 teams in 1 season. Welcome to Seattle, Adrian, to AP. All right. Would we agree that that's out of our system?
Yes, we're agreeing. Football talk is done.
And you're a baseball guy. I've got good news for you. The Mariners have not lost in weeks.
They have not lost in weeks.
So don't worry,
my heart will be broken in summer.
Yeah, and remember, the Mariners don't have winning streaks. They haven't lost streaks. Well, the bio for Bob Dole, the obituary for Bob Dole is real simple. Bob Dole, former U.S. Senator, presidential candidate, hero, dead at age of 98. That's it. That's all you have to say. But I just, when I heard the news, it's one of these guys that he was a boyhood hero. He was an adulthood hero. I had the honor of meeting him through a mutual friend. And it was, transcendent. It was great to meet this guy, a legendary guy, legend of the Senate and the whole thing. Knowing what I know about this horrific business, and by the way, I'm a podcaster now. Go to thedarksecretplace.com, pay me, and I'll podcast for you. Knowing about this, what I know about this horrific business, especially the TV end of it, about who is driving the divisive, divisive rhetoric and the whole thing. I said, you know what? My money is on MSNBC Monday morning getting political with Bob Dole. Instead of just as a standalone, just start the top of Morning Joe with Bob Dole dead at 98, legend of the Senate, horribly wounded, serving his country in World War II. More on that a little later. And just leaving it at that. And also sort of highlighting the guy's humor, because the thing that you've heard about him, he didn't display when he was running for president against Clinton's reelection. And it's that the guy is really funny. He just kept it private because he was kind of like from that generation where if you're in that position, you're not funny. And like one of the funniest people I've ever met was my dad, who was World War II generation, but he was an air traffic controller, so which is not exactly the gig where you want to hear humor on the other end of the microphone. But anyway, Dole was funny, very funny, very, very intelligent guy. And I'm not going to begrudge any show that starts off with a 5-minute or 10-minute hagiography about Bob Dole. But it took Joe Scarborough's wife all of I don't know. Do you have a timer, Brady? They don't use timers in baseball, but in football, they come in handy.
Yeah, we got timers.
Okay, so let's start it here. So this is the top of Morning Joe. It's 3 a.m. because, I work hard. Get up at 3 a.m. Start with Morning Joe. Let's see from the beginning how long it takes for her to compare the Bob Dole of the 90s until his retirement to those horrible Republicans of today. Take it away, Mika.
All right, wrong speech.
Oh, wait a minute. I rewound it not far enough. Oh, by the way, Bob Dole, she'll explain this, but Bob Dole, a few months after the election in 96, Bill Clinton awarded him with the American Medal of Freedom. And And Bob Dole not running for president could be funny when he gave his acceptance speech.
Hi, Robert J. Dole.
See, he's doing an inauguration.
Do solemnly swear. Up. Sorry, wrong speech.
What's the timer at now? How far was that?
That was 32 seconds.
32. All right, let's keep rolling. Showing his humor.
That I would be here this historic week receiving something from the president. But I thought it would be the front door key.
Bob Dole receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom from the man he lost the election to just a couple of months earlier. This morning, we're going to remember the life of the American hero and Republican statesman. But first, the grace of Bob Dole in stark contrast to the extreme members of the current Republican Party.
Okay, so what do we have there? What do we get to?
We are at a minute 10.
I don't know. And also, I guess if you cut out that extended clip of Dole being funny about, you know, losing the presidency, then I'd say she got there in 30 seconds. And it's like you can't do a panda birthday, or you can't firewall it with something else. You have to pivot from the death of Bob Dole in stark contrast to these evil Republicans of today. And you know what? She's talking as if I don't have a memory from 1996 about how the Clintons treated Bob Dole. Like it was all, you know, debate and tuxedos with monocles back then. No. I was paying attention to the news in 1996. Back in a second. Don't get used to it. Brian Suits here on 770 KTTH. Let's check in with the traffic. KTTH. So don't get me wrong. They did get to, a really great bio of Bob Dole. It's just that they didn't get to it till 40 after the hour. But they certainly used it to compare to those horrible Republicans of today. And then Mr. Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough, went off on how horrible the Republicans are today. And he's in complete ignorance of the fact that he used to be a Republican congressman. But anyway, it's really weird. Bob Dole, dead at the age of 98. Obviously, if you know anything about his bio, should have been dead at the age of 24. In 1945, and he underwent a just incredibly strenuous rehab because of his wounds. And it's funny because his service was, there was somewhat stateside. He was originally trained as an artillery officer, et cetera, other stuff, the way that they did. He shipped to Europe in late 1944, and he was assigned to the 10th Mountain Division in Italy. 10th Mountain Division was fighting up Italy. The German army was still holding in Italy. And now we're talking about, you know, the final weeks of World War II, when the Germans frustrated the British and the Americans because they were still fighting really hard, even though they had lost. And that was really a frustration in Italy. It's like, well, why are you fighting for Italy? I mean, the Italians are even out of the war. They've even flipped sides for the Second World War in a row. And so there was a final offensive in late April 1945. Dole had been plugged in, and because they were losing lieutenants left and right. And he was wounded one time before by a grenade shrapnel. He was returned to duty. And then in this, there was a very large offensive in the very north of Italy to dislodge the Germans that were pointlessly hanging on. Because at this point, I mean, this is how late in the war it is. I mean, you're 2 weeks away from Adolf Hitler's worst honeymoon of all time, where he exchanges vows with Eva Braun, and they go downstairs, and she takes poison, and he eats a bullet. Some would say best honeymoon of all time. But this is 2 weeks from then. So Dole is, and his platoon, his company, are involved in a ground assault against a entrenched German enemy, the worst kind of German. And he has men hit left and right. His radioman was hit. He was dragging his radioman to safety when he was, and they honestly don't know if it was mortar fragments or machine gun, but he was hit in the leg, and then he was hit in the upper spine. And I knew it was a bad injury, but I was unaware it was spinal. And that is why he was in a body cast. And he went from being, the guy was, you know, 6'2", 170, sculpted. He was an athlete at the University of Kansas. He was a trackster and a basketball guy and all this. And he lost all this weight in a body cast. They get him back to the United States for, you know, rehab and the whole thing. And they haven't changed the body cast, and it stunk like you wore a shoe, like too tight of a shoe, for 4 months, and they just didn't have the facilities to change it anywhere he went. And then he went into physical rehab, another phase of physical rehab. And here, this is the crazy coincidence about this is here's Bob Dole. The damage is now, he worked to get the ability to walk again, but his right arm is not going to be useful ever again. So that's why, and you probably know this by now, that's why he always carried a pencil in his right hand, because he couldn't shake hands with it. So he would extend his left hand. You would shake his left hand. Well, in that rehab, and this is the crazy coincidence of it. And this is that World War II generation. You know, so many of those guys went on. There was a point in the late 50s when the House of Representatives was 2/3 World War II vets. Bob Dole in rehab became friends, met with, played cards, became friends with Senator Daniel Inouye of Hawaii. But he was Lieutenant Inouye of Hawaii, also injured in the right arm. Inouye was part of the 442nd Regimental Combat Team of Japanese Americans, and Inouye got stitched up by a German machine gun, a MG-42, by the way. And also future Senator Phil Hart also was the third member of that three-legged stool, and also injured on the right side. So that I read Dole's book. And I don't know why I didn't remember that, but Inouye beat him to Congress, and they that was what they talked about, was what are you going to do? And Bob Dole said, well, I'm going to go to law school, but I'm going to run for Congress. And Inouye said that, you know, he had other plans, but Dole said, you should be a congressman. You should be in Congress. You should be a leader. You should take your experience and become a leader. And so the... the amazing coincidence was, you know, never talked about. And because those were those guys from that generation, you know, Dole, that entire World War II generation did not come home and say, I'm a victim, you know, pity me and all that. But then again, you know, no one back then, being a victim wasn't a virtue like it is now. Now it's, well, you're a victim. None of those guys ever said, you know, I'm owed more because, you know, I'm this or I'm that. We owe them more. We owe, you know, wounded veterans more because they've you know, put their lives on the line and all that. But you know, Dole was from that generation where he would fight for, you know, VA budgeting and, you know, and he would defend. And he was his best visual aid. You know, it was really that simple. When Bob Dole got up and spoke about the VA and the whole thing, it meant something. You know, when a MD who lied about his Vietnam service, like old Jim McDermott, you know, talked about that, he never did a damn thing for his district in Seattle. Dole did something for the entire VA system, and you know, he carried incredible weight, just like John McCain did, just like Inouye did, but. A personal hero, boyhood hero, and just an astounding life. All the more astounding that you know he lived till 98. You know, which is more than four times what the Wehrmacht had intended, what the German army had intended for Robert Dole. All right, back in a second, the resignation of Chris Cuomo, the arrest of the parents of the Michigan shooter, all sorts of stuff coming up. It is Brian Suits. Don't get used to me. It is 770 KTTH. Let's check in with the traffic. KTTH, Brian Suits in here until 9. Happy Monday morning, everybody. And we'll get still not a lot of details out of Granite Falls. Bottom line, a one-year-old was killed by a gun from in the house. And we'll, if we get more details, we'll give you those. But we'll give you the what we know so far a little later on. Because it kind of goes towards a discussion that's happening in regards to the Michigan, the Oxford, Michigan shooter. Engineer Brady, are you a fan of the Led Zeppelin?
Oh, I'm definitely a fan of Led Zeppelin.
So did you hear, you know, the Robert Plant, Alison Krauss album from a couple years ago did really well. Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear any of it?
Probably bits and pieces. I'm not a person that listens to that whole album straight of one band.
It's almost like formatically you can't anymore. But it really because I grew up on KISW and Led Zeppelin was their core artist, and you sort of mentally you tie Robert Plant to that sound so much. It's funny hearing him out of context because you find out in that first Alison Krauss collab album. The duet album, how good of a singer he is. Well, they just released a new album, the two of them, double album, terrific. And so if you're thinking you're going to buy it for me for Christmas, think again, Brady, because I spent the digits and I got it digitally, but it's definitely something. I actually saw it on vinyl, and this is like the big thing with the kids these days and their turntables. And all that, but I'd like to hear it on vinyl. But anyway, if you're a Zeppelin fan or a Robert Plant fan, I highly recommend this new album is terrific. And if you don't know who Alison Krauss is, I don't know what to tell you. She's, I think, one of the greatest current American singers. But you know, she kind of confines herself to the country. So we were talking about this. I guess it was like in the last 2 years, there was some on duty Seattle police. And their vexing handguns were denied. Was it they were denied service in a restaurant, or they weren't asked to leave? They were just were told they weren't going to be served, or something like that, right?
That is correct. They walked into the business and they were not even served. They were just stated that we want you to leave because we don't feel safe, or something along the lines of somebody's uncomfortable with you having a gun.
Well, somebody in San Francisco did the same thing. And here's the crazy part. Here's the stupid business part about this. It's like, if you do that, then just do it and own it. But what this restaurant in San Francisco did, called Hilda and Jesse's, or Hilda and Jesse, what they did was, not only did they kick the cops out, but they felt the need to put it up on Instagram. And here's how this played out on Friday. They actually put this up on Instagram. It's not a kitten playing with a puppy or anything. It's text. Quote, on Friday, December 3rd, three armed and uniformed San Francisco police officers came in to dine at Hilda and Jesse. Shortly after seating them, our staff felt uncomfortable with the presence of their multiple weapons. We then politely asked them to leave. At Hilda and Jesse, the restaurant is a safe space. The presence of the officers' weapons in the restaurant made us feel uncomfortable. We respect the San Francisco Police Department and are grateful for the work they do. We welcome them into the restaurant while they are off duty, out of uniform, and without their weapons. Close quote. By the way, Seattle's just like San Francisco, just like L.A., just like Spokane, Portland. When you're off duty, you carry. It's you know, part of the duty. Well, so that was Friday. They felt the need to post that on Saturday, and it got It's at 1,334 likes, right? Well, where the rubber meets the road is butts and seats for a restaurant. They got hammered so hard on Yelp on Saturday and Sunday that they put up a retraction late last night. So again, they seat three cops. They kick them out because of their vexing handguns. And instead of just shutting up about it, they spiked the football and put it on Instagram. Late last night, then they put this up. Quote, "We made a mistake and apologize for the unfortunate incident on Friday when we asked members of the San Francisco Police Department to leave our restaurant. We are grateful to all members of the force who work hard to keep us safe, especially during these challenging times. We hope this will be a teachable moment for us as we repair and continue to build bridges with the SFPD. These are stressful times, and we handled this badly." Slash signed Rachel Silcox and Christina Leidigs Compton, co-owners of Hilda and Jesse San Francisco Restaurant, close quote. So they figured out where their bread is buttered. And by the way, if this kind of sounds familiar, this is a place famously earlier this year where someone went in and ordered pancakes and hash browns, and the bill was $52. And the reason was because they added on a equitable wage, like 24% to the bill. And it was like some self-imposed thing. And you're supposed to know that when you go eat there. But anyway, that's bottom line is Yelp talks. It might be unfair. I've never set foot in the place, nor would I. I mean, especially if now knowing who runs the place, but anyone can post on Yelp. That's, you know, kind of the thing. Anyone can post on Google reviews. And as I said, I've never set foot in there, but I stated that on Google. I gave them half a star on Google reviews. So there's that. But anyway, does this indicate that maybe things are bouncing back? I hope so. I hope so all up and down the West Coast, because it's all crap-holing really, really fast. Like, really, really fast. So, and that, by the way, I've talked to, when I do my Tuesday hits with Todd, when we did that last couple of months, and I spoke to them very frankly about, you know, I was leaving one crap hole, and a lot of my friends, you know, up here are saying, well, you're not really doing much better up here. Well, I got to tell you, it kind of is. I mean, that's how bad it is down there. But I guarantee, you are going to see, unless the Seattle, the city prosecutor and the county DA in Pierce, King, and Snohomish, if they don't come out and have a policy right now for a package of charges for flash mob looting, flash mob robberies, you're going to see them. Because the reason they happen in San Francisco and Los Angeles is because they don't get prosecuted. So if you want to avert that kind of stuff, I know shoplifting is up at pandemic status here in Seattle. But if you want to stop the full on empowered gangs with sledgehammers, you better face that right now, because that's the reality down there. And it's absolute hell. So there's that. Speaking of absolute hell. I'll tell you what, well, I'll get into this in a second, but I know that Governor Jay is trying really hard to be stern daddy, right? And he's trying really hard, and he's trying to posture, and he's trying to position himself, and he's trying to sound butch and the whole thing. But you may have missed this on Friday, but late Thursday, he gave a press conference, did a presser. And he made a statement that I know sounded really good when they handed it to him. But there's a little secret about that statement. And I'll play it for you in a second when we come back. Brian Suits here. Don't get used to it. It is 770 KTTH. Let's check in with the right-way traffic. 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and the governor wants to man up. He wants you to know that he's in charge. And so last week in a probably little noted press conference, he said the following, and you're supposed to
wait, hang on. That 34% of the state yet to
From King 5, and this is the latest dire warning because of the Omicron variant and the blah blah. Which, by the way, Engineer Brady, did you? I forgot. I'm bearing the lead. The Omicron variant. Found in what, Thurston Pierce in a third county. So basically something that has the lethality of the common cold now. But so anyway, you know, any excuse for more mandates. But anyway, so this is the governor late Thursday. So you probably didn't, because no one pays attention on Friday to the news, nor over the weekend. But anyway, this is your governor on late Thursday.
Get their first shot. Getting that population vaccinated is of the utmost importance.
In the next several months, or maybe the next year, you're either going to have had COVID, you're going to have a vaccination, or you're going to be dead.
I'll get dramatic music. I'll cover that with the dramatic music next hour, like a sci-fi stab or something. So when I heard that, because I'm watching the local news. When I heard that, I went, whoa, wait a minute. Now, is that happenstance that he used those three possibilities? What was that again?
Next year, you're either going to have had COVID, you're going to have a vaccination, or you're going to be dead.
So I, like most of you, said, wait, didn't the German Minister for Health, Jens Spahn, say that exact thing 3 weeks ago? Use those exact same words, der Reichsminister für Gesundheit. And I knew I'd heard that. The reason I heard that was because BBC, which is on my XM radio, BBC reported that story because it's pretty ominous. You know, the German Minister for Health coming out and saying, and this is November 23rd, by the end of the European winter, quote, pretty much everyone in Germany will have been vaccinated, recovered, or died, close quote. German Health Minister Jens Spahn has warned. I'd rather want a more optimistic guy than him. However, those are your three possibilities. And with one between the U.S. and Jay Inslee, one giant difference. And I'll tell you what the difference was. But so that was 3 weeks ago. That was November 23rd. Pretty much everyone in Germany will have been vaccinated, recovered, or died. Now, I don't want to give the kind of leg humpers that work on a Jay Inslee staff credit for being original. But I'm going to take a wild stab and tell you that stuck. They heard that and that stuck because that's the kind of plain talk that we want from our leaders. We want strength and we want vision is what we want. I guarantee whoever wrote that for him, because he did not think of that. Whoever wrote that for him heard it thinking that nobody would be able to trace it back to Jens Spahn, Minister für Gesundheit in Deutschland, except that BBC is kind of a deal and a lot of people listen to it. So anyway, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he did use his own words and some of them were big words. So let's catch it again.
Of the utmost importance.
In the next several months, or maybe the next year, you're either going to have had COVID, you're going to have a vaccination, or you're going to be dead.
Ah, see, he escaped. And I forgot to say. He switched it up. So I don't know. Maybe this is bouncing all. Maybe the German, maybe this talking point is with all the blue governors, that you give people three choices, vaccinate, recover, or die. Die! And so he went with be dead, which is, there you go. But he switched it up. He said, you're going to have had COVID, or as the German said, recovered, be vaccinated. Here is the difference, though. And as harsh and Germanic as Jens Spahn sounds, I'll tell you this. In Europe, the riots that you're seeing are about vaccination mandates, right? They are accounting for people with natural immunity. We're not. We are not. You're not hearing CDC or the NIH, you know, Fauci's outfit. You're not even hearing them acknowledge that natural immunity acquired by recovering from COVID even exists, and that if there are people who need vaccinations, you're at the end of the line, the absolute end of the line. And now that you have variants that are breaking through the vaccination and causing many, many people sniffles and occasionally coughs in South Africa, probably if you can prevent that, and if it doesn't do any good anyway, what's the point and all that? Anyway, point is, the Europeans are actually accounting for natural immunity. Have you even heard any federal authority, I mean last year and this year, even acknowledge that people are acquiring natural immunity, so you're not the priority? You know, sorry you had a bad week. In the case of my daughter and I, it sucked. I haven't had the flu that bad in forever because I, like, wash my hands in junk. I don't get the flu shot because I, like, wash my hands in junk. My daughter never been that sick. And it was 5 days of hell. But we started the symptoms on Monday night. I was up and running by Saturday. And then I started donating plasma at the VA, LA area VA, and they were accounting for my antibodies every single month I went in. And I'm a former medical lab tech. I worked at the UW Medical Center in the lab. I know how this stuff works. And I said, oh, well, you know, good for us. Yay, us. Are they going to open up school for those of us with natural immunity? No, well, of course not. But, you know, they act as if no such thing exists. And then they point out, well, all your kids had to have shots to go to school when they were 2 and 3. Okay, I got that. Why wouldn't they do it every year? Well, because they acquire immunity to smallpox because they got a smallpox inoculation. Ah, so you're saying that the human immune system actually can work and occasionally defend itself. All right. No wonder we evolved. So anyway, that's a big difference, is that the Europeans are accounting for that. The Inslians, not so much.
Means that 34% of the state yet to get their first shot. Getting that population vaccinated is of the utmost importance.
In the next several months, or maybe the next year, you're either going to have had COVID.
Recovered.
You're going to have a vaccination, or you're going to be dead.
So anyway, there you go. So, okay, about that first one, I can call Olympia and find out about that, right? All right. Back in a second, a pair of tragedies, frankly, in Snohomish County. A one-year-old dead by gunshot. We'll tell you about that. And a roadside suicide shuts down I-5 for, like, ever. Back in a second. Brian Suits here, 770 KTGH. Let's check the right-way traffic.